Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Braun, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing today?
I'm good. I am still in my little hole. The annoying thing is, Chris, right? I must complain about the upholstery provisions in this country. I have built a little studio, built me two walls, put me studs up, put a bit of plasterboard up, done a bit of plastering. Nice. Quite pleased with my creation.
It looks terrible.
It does look terrible right now, but it will look better.
It's like a wall hanging off behind you, like near your head.
It will. It's not. I mean, it's my fault because I didn't order enough upholstering fabric.
Right.
But I'm basically in a situation where I've got, I've built myself a little studio. It sounds okay. And it's and I'm just in the situation where I'm half stuff's hanging off the wall because I haven't been able to get enough upholstery fabric, and I didn't order enough, and I should have ordered more, but I needed it. I put in an extra order for the next bit of upholstery fabric, and they can't get it to me for about 2 weeks. So I'm in this half built, half completed little studio nonsense. I'm very upset about it, Chris. The struggles
of Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
I don't know for the life of me why you haven't made a YouTube channel about this. Just you in a room.
Well, building my own studio, yeah.
Well, I'm going to do it. I tell you, so actually since we last spoke a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how I'm getting a studio here in Sendai, right? Mm. Partly because I need some space to film in, and partly because I was jealous that Trash Taste have a studio of biblical size and proportion.
Doesn't take much.
Well, I've got one now. I'm going to get the keys in about, let's say, 10 days from now of this recording. Mm. And I must say, there's only one floor with it. It's a pretty big floor, to be honest. So we got in the studio. I went to Ryotaro. He kindly joined me, went in, and It's just one big room, right? It's just one big room. You go in through the door and then you're in a big space. It must be about 60, 70 meters squared. And then on the left of you, there's a little door that goes into a bathroom and a kitchen. And I was like, you know, it's nice. It's going to take a little bit of work to turn it into something good. But outside the window, there's a like some sort of hotel or something. And every time cars leave, it's got one of those sirens to warn pedestrians, like, watch out, this car's coming out. It goes, and I just, oh God, you can hear it so clearly from the studio.
Oh, like, no.
All the windows were shut and you could hear it. And that's not good because I'm going to be filming in there and maybe doing the podcast.
Why have you could you not get one a few floors up?
Well, I looked around to other places in Sendai, but it's just really not a good place. Like, this was the right cost. I think it was just over $1,000 a month or something, which is pretty good value. The other one was like $5,000 or $6,000, and that's not something I can really justify. But what we did discover is you can, in Japan, you're not allowed, changing windows in the building is incredibly difficult because you've got to go through the owner of the building as well as the owner of the current apartment or studio, right?
Yeah.
So we just wouldn't be able to do it. It'd just take forever. But what a lot of offices do is they have these inside windows. So you hire someone, they come in and they build interior windows around the current windows. What I'm going to do is get these windows put in around each of the windows, and that should hopefully soundproof it and insulate it against the audio.
Just build a sort of interior, sort of like an interior wall kind of thing. Nice.
It's kind of like double glazed windows, right? So hopefully that should eliminate the sound. If it doesn't, I'm going to cry. And that'll be an upcoming episode, just me sitting here crying and shouting.
Chris crying in his new studio. How long's the tenancy? Is it a year?
I think it's 3 years or something.
Holy moly. Wow.
Playing the long game here, Pete.
Someone's investing.
I'm investing. But no, I'm excited. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. I'm going to have like a film space where I do all the videos. I'll probably do like a live show every week in there, have a live show. And maybe just get some beanbags and roll around on the floor. Live the dream, innit?
Just a bit of just somewhere else to drink coffee and eat fried chicken, innit, really?
Get some animals, put the animals in there, have a little zoo, petting zoo area, cat cafe.
How far away from your house is your studio?
It's about a 5-10 minute walk, so it's pretty
lovely,
pretty awesome, right? You don't have to walk that far, which is the main thing I looked for, actually. I didn't want to have to go across Sendai. Like, Sendai's a big city. A lot of people don't realize, but while Sendai is tiny by the standards of Japanese mega cities like Tokyo or Kyoto or Osaka, it's still like, if it was in the UK, it'd still be like the second biggest city after London. So it's a big fucking city. And so I wanted to get somewhere nearby that I could stroll along. Right in the middle, there's a gym as well. So if I want to get fit, I can wake up.
I think I think more than anything else, and I think that's something that people have been experiencing under lockdown. It's great that you can work from home and stuff, but I mean there are mental health implications for just residing in all the time in your house, and so it's nice to sort of have somewhere else to find yourself on a day.
I mean, I found it really tough with certainly the last month of my journey across Japan, where I'm spending, 4 days a week editing these damn episodes. And I'm just like sitting in one room in my apartment, just rocking backwards and forth, wanting to go outside. I feel so restless. It's been really tough to concentrate. And I'm hoping with a studio, it might break it up a little bit. But I don't know.
Separate your kind of work life as well. Take your computer there, edit there, don't do any editing at home. It's very important, I think.
Well, you've got an editor now. You've got an editor. So hopefully, actually, we might have more Born Japan videos coming out regularly. That's something I'm really excited about. Now I'm not editing. I can focus on making things and filming things, the fun bit.
Oh, Chris, you are a perfectionist, my friend. You will not let them do anything. Guaranteed. You'll be like, no, you're doing it wrong. I'm going to do this one. You do the next one.
They're going to lose their mind when I'm done with them. We've got a story this week from Declan.
All right, then. Do you want me to take over on Declan's story?
Go for it.
All right. Hello there, Chris and Pete. A couple of weeks ago, I watched your video with Connor about love hotels, always an intriguing subject. And I recall at some point during the video, the question, what else are you going to do in a love hotel other than the obvious, was being proposed. And this is what I would like to answer in this email. The story's not actually mine, but it's a story of an ex of mine who told me this a few years ago.
Anonymity
provided. Hopefully there will be no issue with sharing it. At any rate, well, there goes my doorbell. Oh no, there's a car coming in or coming out. Anyway, they're in a love hotel. Her story began with her and her boyfriend at the time going to a love hotel together for the first time. As is probably a common feeling, she was a little nervous since it would have been their first time going to such a place together. Upon arriving in the room, it was clear that her partner was desperate to smash. In a hot flash, he quickly unzipped his bag and pulled out an N64.
What?
Play Smash Brothers with me, he instructed to her, much to her surprise and somewhat disappointment. It would have been it would become a regular occurrence, and it would become apparent that he'd only one desire of a particular kind of smashing. This is a spicy email, isn't it? Apparently, he preferred the bigger TVs located in the rooms of love hotels, which begs the question, why not just get a bigger TV for himself? Perhaps there wasn't enough space in his flat, or perhaps he couldn't get the money required to play. It's all up to speculation, really. What do you guys think? Hope you fellas are doing well. Keep up the splendid work, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Warmest regards, Declan from Scotland. So yeah, guy takes his significant other to a love hotel, gets out an N64, and demands a little bit of Pikachu Smash Brothers action.
That's incredible. To be fair, like when I was in the love hotel with Connor a few weeks back, I did think, I don't know why I don't come here more regularly, just to sit in a room and do nothing. Like it's really interesting. We spoke to the owner Shishidor-san and off camera, and we sort of said, how you been doing during COVID? And he was like, oh, business is great, because couples haven't been able to travel or go on holiday, so instead they just go to a love hotel and sit in a room and play games and do other things. But his business is doing great. Well, most business hotels have been dying off. Like, the love hotel industry has actually done kind of well, and I can see why. Like, you know, and Connor and I were shocked on how good the food was when we were in that room. Like, Connor wouldn't shut up about how good the food was. So love hotels are great. Don't know if taking a Nintendo 64 is a good idea, but certainly a bold move. It's beautiful. Wonderful.
Yeah. A bold gambit from that young gentleman. Fantastic.
That'd be a good little short film, wouldn't it? Just filming a date. And then it has like a really, this guy's like, yeah, get in the room. And she's like, oh God. And
the man who loves to smash
the bag for Nintendo 64. That's good. I like that.
Yeah,
could be a thriller with a comedic twist. We've got a story this week, kind of along the similar vein of video games in some respect. An AI Japanese bar, Mama-san, is ready to listen to your troubles at her virtual bar. So, snack bars or hostess clubs, they're always run by, there's always one key person, the Mama-san, the owner woman who sort of delegates and does everything, and often can be a little bit old, can be in their 50s, sometime their 60s, but they run the show. It's very much their establishment. That's why they call them Mama-san. But this place in, I think, Miyazaki Prefecture in South Japan has turned a famous Mama-san into a robot who he can talk to and who will listen to your troubles at her virtual bar, which I think is rather wonderful. There's a human at this bar, a human Mama-san called Yoshiko. She runs a bar in Miyazaki, and apparently there's a really big foremost bar district in this region of Miyazaki. It's quite a popular nighttime spot. And this AI was developed based on 50 hours of interviews with her, during which the designers took careful note of how she listens and how she responds, sort of mimic her and try and make it seem as accurate as possible. The Mama-san operates a virtual bar, and once you enter, you'll be greeted by Yoshiko and asked what's on your mind, giving you a lengthy list of common concerns, which you can then narrow down to more specific stress sources. The list of things Yoshiko is ready to talk about include friction with your boss, we've all been there, family, romantic partners, loss of motivation, trouble sleeping, or the difficulties of moving to a new apartment. There's even a text box where you can type in your own specific problems, although at the moment, there's a chance that AI Yoshiko will politely say she doesn't have any specific advice on the matter because she's brand new. What do you make of this, Pete? Is this the future of robotics?
Mama-san, I do a podcast with a boy who lives in Japan and I miss him dearly. Mama-san, how can I... Oh, Mama-san.
It's like terrible version of her, that Scarlett Johansson film. Really is.
She, the picture that they've used, I just do not like the virtual hands, wrinkly old lady hands they've made for the lady. It's absolutely chilling. Absolutely chill. I don't like her mouth. It's like a sort of marionette kind of big sort of slidey mouth. Don't like it. Don't enjoy it. Don't need it in my life. Scary. Absolutely scary.
They haven't made a physical robot, though, have they? They're just drawn up.
No.
They basically took a photo of the of Yoshiko-san and just made her look like a robot, which is really eerie. I think
chilling.
It's nice, though.
Absolutely chilling.
It's been a tough year for a lot of people, and having a
Mama-san.
AI Mama-san could be the key to sorting you out.
Sorting me out. Oh, Mama-san.
It's like a digital agony aunt, right? Agony aunt of the future.
Yes.
Oh, it's nice. You can't seriously
don't like it.
Imagine you're like, oh, my wife got ran over and she's dead. And then the Mama-san's like, oh.
Have a drink. Have a whiskey.
Have some whiskey. It's not going to help.
We talk about, you know, the mental health provisions and, you know, the welfare state in Japan. You know, there's not a lot of care. World class, at source emergency care and, you know, cancer treatments and stuff. But they don't really sort of regard the brain as being an important part. You know, look at the suicide rates and stuff. Like, so you sort of go, are the Mama-sans just basically the only sort of mental health provision the Japanese have got? So maybe this is exactly up their street. Mama-san.
I mean, it's funny, like the whole time I've been here, every week there's always some sort of news story about robots or AI and how Japan's pioneering robots. Like, I remember there was, because obviously the population, I think 60% of the population is over 60 years old or something ridiculous. Like everyone here is very old. and there's not enough people to support them. And I remember reading a story where they were going to get robots in to run nursing homes and to look after the people at nursing homes. But it all feels like very much pie in the sky stuff that's more gimmicky than actually bloody useful. And I've not really seen much in the way of robotics in Japan practically used outside of like Toyota factories and car manufacturing. Like I haven't really, it's always been a little bit disappointing. And
a bit tokenistic.
It is. And the Mama-san thing, it's a nice
Mama-san.
Idea, but I'm not entirely sold on it. So we'll have to find out. I have to go down to Miyazaki Prefecture in Kyushu and give it a whirl. Let's
come on, Mama-san. Sort us out, mate.
Beautiful. We'll be back in a moment with your stories and questions in the fax machine.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's
pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
I just saw a squirrel. Fantastic. Oh my God, Chris, over the weekend I saw an actual badger in the street. I've never seen a badger before. It was just in the fucking street. I was like, wow.
You're like 40 years old and you've never seen a badger.
Never seen a badger alive. Insane.
Like 40-year-old virgin, but with badgers. 40-year-old
yeah,
badger.
I'm not going to do anything to it. Cheeheb in Pennsylvania, USA. In my two visits to Japan in 2016 and 2019, I tried helping people who, in my view, are in obvious need of help. On one occasion, there was a really old lady coming off the bus in Kyoto. She was having a bit of a difficult time. I held her arm and tried to help her. To my surprise, she did not say anything, nor did she even look at me, and the whole thing felt weird, as if I was more of a nuisance than anything. People at the bus stop and the driver looked at me as if I was an alien fresh out of Mars doing something unspeakable to this old lady. It made me question my sanity. I was being a good person, right? Right? While we have all pretty much experienced random acts of kindness in Japan, how do you think Japanese people react or feel towards random acts of kindness when they are the recipients? Can they accept it and let it make their day without feeling uncomfortable or suspicious? All the best, Cheeheb in Pennsylvania, USA. Who knows, Chris? Have you ever been helped by a foreigner, a gaijin?
I'm still happy about the fact that I think you said Cats of Kindness, which sounds like
did
the sequel
Cats
to
of Kind. Oh, I dear, I've got cats.
Sounds like the sequel
brain.
To Cat Nation, Cats of Kindness. Just be me with a pile of cats. Another documentary that shouldn't be made. I mean, I think it's that whole feeling of obligation. She's probably feeling a bit awkward. The old woman's like slowly getting off the bus. Mm. Then you've got someone coming over and just sort of lifting you up, whatever. And they're like, "What the hell's going on?" Mm. I don't know. I think. I can see why that would be awkward. Like, people in Japan are less likely to get involved with strangers, even if it is helping folks. There's just that culture of just leaving people alone, which I rather like in most respects, because you're left to your own devices. But yeah, I guess that's it, really. People are sort of left to their own devices in public. Obviously, if someone's really struggling, then do help them. But I think for a proud elderly person, maybe that was the issue. They felt like, I can do it myself. I don't need help. You know, there's a sense of pride in the elderly population here. I don't know. But my advice is, have I ever helped anyone across the street? Probably not.
Oh, Christopher. What
not
a
in Japan, anyway.
There's so many old people in Japan as well.
Probably give them to a heart attack if I came running over to some old woman. Like, oh, come on, I'll help you over the road. And they're like, what kind of... And
let me touch
awkward.
You. Let me
terrifying.
Touch you. Let me grab you. Let me get you over the road.
That is, nobody wants me to come over and help them across the road. And that would just end.
I mean, even the elderly.
What if you like drop them
you?
And like, kick them over instead by accident?
Well, don't kick people over. Don't kick old people over.
Not like deliberately, but you know, you might. What if you're like, come on, love, let's get over the road. Oh, whoops. And then face plant. Then you're liable, isn't it?
Then you've got a purse and you're running off. Oh, whoops. Got a purse, run off. Oops.
I think I would be much more liable. I think I'd be much more likely to help someone in the UK than I would in Japan for that reason. Just because I feel like it might be quite stressful or scary for an elderly Japanese person to deal with like a foreign person walking over and helping them across the road. Yeah. So I think that's probably
fair.
Why. More
that's
than that. We got one from Mary. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I've always loved Japan. In honor of this, my gran and my mother cooked me a Chinese meal for my birthday. Of course, this was the closest cookbook they could find. Unfortunately, this resulted in an allergic reaction, discovery of allergies to soy and beans, dashing my plans to live in Japan. So I was wondering, do you know of any foods in Japan that don't have soy or beans? You've mentioned before the chef is always right in Japan. How accommodating is Japan for people with allergies? Would it be possible to go a day in Japan without eating soybeans? Or would this be similar to your vegan video? Wishing you and Pete all the best. Stay safe, Mary. What I will say is that every restaurant I go to now, they always ask, do you have any allergies? So that's kind good. Of encouraging. I think because of the Olympics, they didn't used to. And if you'd say, oh, I'm a vegan or a vegetarian, something that I definitely say quite often. If you say you're a vegetarian or something in Japan, it used to be a big problem, and they'll just give you like a bowl of rice and that'll be your dinner.
That's your dinner.
It was that bad. But now, like, they're a lot better. And they do ask, I think like 9 times out of 10 when I go to a restaurant, they ask if you've got an allergy. So let that be encouraging, Mary. Yeah. You'll be all right. You'll be fine. Just and avoid soy sauce, obviously, which is doable. You know, not everything contains soy sauce in Japan. Just most things.
Definitely. Definitely. Finally, for now, to wrap up the show, Alexander K. Thank you, Alexander, for your email, message, fax machine, whatever you want to call it. Dear Chris and Pete, for a bit of background to my question, I listen to your podcasts all week as I deliver groceries for a living in Denton, Texas. Love that state. One of the only things that keeps me going on this fast-paced and grueling job is an unholy addiction to caffeine in all its forms, energy drinks, tea and coffee, but mostly coffee. My question is, what is the coffee scene like in Japan? Thanks in advance. Alexander Kerr.
Well, I mean, I love the convenience store coffee in Japan. It's all right. Gets the job done. I mean, what have you found it, Pete, on your trips to Japan?
I think with Japan, the Japanese, I mean, they are master craftsmen. And if there's a possibility of getting into something way too much, the Japanese will grab that with both hands to get obsessed with something, with the quality and the craftsmanship. And so, I mean, they love their coffee. They do some of the best coffee in the world. Proper coffee pit heads absolutely love, certainly the scene in big cities like Tokyo and Osaka. And to be honest, some of the best as an Omotesando coffee in, I think, Mayfair, kind of Oxford Circus sort of way in London. And there's a lot of like, you know, pop-up Japanese style coffee shops that do all like the slow drip stuff in London. So, you know, they've got a world-class reputation of making the very, very, very best coffee. And it's all very delicious. But it's all a bit of a fart about. Just give me a Nescafe. I don't care.
A Nescafe. You disgrace.
Give me a Nescafe.
You disgust me. And then to be fair, in the last episode, I did talk about how I spent 500 yen on a BTS K-pop band. Yep. Cold brew coffee that tasted all right, but was definitely not worth 500 yen because it had BTS, the band on the bottle. there are a lot of cool little places, as Pete said. One of my favorite places is called Cafe Burumen, and it's in Hirosaki City in Aomori, if you're ever up there, which is pretty far and pretty remote, but it's worth the trip. It's a beautiful place. But there's a coffee shop in there that I went in once, and the man who must have been in his 60s, quite an elderly guy, made really good coffee, brewed really great coffee. But he had pottery that's like cost like $200, and he would serve you the coffee on like a saucer and a cup that was about $200. And that's, I remember, stressful. Just like picking it up and shaking with fear about dropping the coffee. But that aside, Cafe Burumen, really great place. Check it out. It's near Hirosaki Park. But there's lots of cool little places like that. And I mean, Sendai has a lot of Starbucks. I wouldn't say that's a great measurement for coffee
ring
quality.
Endorsement.
Yeah, ring endorsement. There's so many Starbucks here. But no, when I'm in a hurry, though, I do get the best coffee in a convenience store in Japan is typically the one that comes freshly brewed out of the machines. And they're really cheap and reasonable. 100 yen, get a decent coffee in 7-Eleven. And I love it because you can watch the beans being sort of crushed in the machine above. And you can smell the coffee. It's lovely. Pretty good cup, pretty good quality. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back over the next few days, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy your rest of your week. Keep an eye out for the next episode and enjoy a glass of cold brew coffee, but not from BTS.
No.
Pricey.
Leave those boys alone.
we'll be back in the next few days. In the next few days, guys.
Steady.
Just cut that
out. What's going on, Chris?
Do it again. Fucking hell.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.